Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Adesso call on the 24th of May 2012. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Andre Thompson, Rick Keller, Cheryl Langdonald, Julie Hammer, Arturo Servin, Takaya Sumatsuro, Warren Kumari, Jim Galvin, Luis Espinosa, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jörg Schweiger, and Mark Costas. From staff, we have Patrick Jones, Julie Headland, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. And we have apologies from Scott Allgaier, Rafik Damak, Bart Boschenkel, and Zach Latour. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie. As always, a fabulous job. Today was especially complicated because the folks that deliver the bridge for us gave us a heads up that dialing in was pretty congested at the top of this hour. I guess they had a lot of meetings starting simultaneously. So Tim gets a big attaboy as always, but especially today. The agenda is extremely simple, just like last week. We're really just going to look at the report. While people are thinking about their statements of interest, if anybody wants to change that agenda, this is a good time to do that. We'll pause now and check in on statements of interest. Anybody got any changes they want to tell us about? Okay, and then for the recording, this week's picture is contributed by Warren, and I have decided that it's a pretty good picture of the way that we do the project planning for the DSSA project. I'm thinking of myself as the fellow on the left in that picture, and I have no clue who's driving. So that's the picture of the week. Julie's in the queue for next week, but do send them. They're getting better. I like this a lot. All right, so today we're just going to work on the report, and I think we'll just keep pecking away at it for the rest of the time. I've put down below the shared screen links to all four drafts that are out on the wiki. I apologize for those really long links. But there are two versions of each. There's a Word version and a PDF version of the report and of the appendices. And as you'll notice, I'm on version 9, and you are on version 8. I'll publish version 9 this weekend. And mostly, I think today, I want to drag you through it. Because I know, at least in my experience, that I never have time to read these reports in between. And so I think it's always a good exercise to just step through them as a group, so that I can show the stuff to you and perhaps trigger those reactions that then inspire you to write comments. Hats off to Warren and Jörg. They are already in with comments, and I will drive those into the next draft. I think the protocol should be, because this report is pretty big, rather than sending your drafts to the list, send them to me and I will consolidate them and then bring the consolidated version back next week, and we'll start debating the changes that are being proposed, because this is I think the file is over 2 megabytes now, which is tough on people for that are bringing down email over a slow connection. So, let's just start at the top, and I will pay attention to how far we get today, and then if we don't get all the way through it, we'll finish it off next week. But I just want to give you a very fast tour. I filled in a few things. This background section is lifted straight out of our charter. The key thing in there is highlighted that there's a need for the better understanding of security and stability of the DNS. I'm gonna leave the changes for next time. Yerk's got a really interesting modification to that that I think warrants a fair discussion, but I don't want to do it today because I really want to just blast through the whole shebang and maybe try and touch on the appendices are still very rough. My next big writing project is to go tidy up the appendices. And I've stuck in objectives and goals out of the charter. I'm going to go through this pretty fast because this is all just charter stuff. But then, we're starting to touch on the fact that we had to really work pretty hard on our scope in really three dimensions. The first was figuring out what we meant by the DNS. So we did that system boundaries discussion. And then the functional and organizational context. And we've talked about this enough that I'm going to scream through it pretty fast, but just highlight that it's now, for the most part, in prose rather than in pseudocode stuff the way I was doing it before. So this is our familiar picture. A bunch of observations. The big thing that I'm proud of is that I learned how to do three columns of things. Stop and highlight this part. And also point out that this came in after the call last week where we were starting to say, there are a lot of entities in this community and we should really just call some of them out. And then I had this really bright idea, which turned out to be too smart, which was to try and array those entities on this chart. And I blew a fuse trying to do that. So if anybody's got a good idea, I'm all ears. But what happens is that each of those entities tends to occupy substantially more than one point on this diagram. And so putting them on there as dots, we are almost the only one of those that is actually accurately described as a dot on this chart. So if anybody's got a bright idea on how to convey that, I'm all ears, but I don't think it's going to work. So anyway, that's where I got on that particular idea. There's a fair amount of prose in here that you'll want to read fairly carefully. This is where I drove most of that section that I took out. Remember, I had a section at the very end talking about a future organization, and I pulled that out, and I took most of the ideas from that and drove them into this narrative, which, again, I'm not going to go through in a whole lot of detail, but just highlight for you, because that's pretty prescriptive. The ops group talked about this on Monday, and we've forwarded this draft of the report to both the SSRRT group and the board DNS risk management group and encouraged them to comment on that. And those have been received with enthusiasm, but we haven't gotten any comments back yet. So then this diagram should be familiar. I think these observations are pretty familiar, too. I think this is one that is very close to my heart. I think that the legacy of this effort may well be more in the tools and process that we leave behind than the comprehensive risk assessment. We talked a fair amount about that last week. Another familiar picture is this one. I don't think this one's changed much. This is the relationship of what we're doing to a more traditional risk management framework. And the one question that I have for you who are really more experts on security management, that there is a more widely accepted view of security management that's, I can't rattle it off because I'm ashamed to admit that I finally bought my very first information security textbook last week and was reading it. I'm sort of having the same experience that I had after I ran my own business for 5 years and finally took an accounting class. I said, oh, so that's how this really works. There's the whole thing of plan, do, assess, act. I can't even put it in order. I think it's like 5 or 6 steps, and I'm wondering whether this picture should be modified to accommodate that or whether we should just leave it like this. This is sort of leaving out the Don's got it. Don's a professor at this. He not only reads the textbook, he teaches people the textbook. Plan, do, check, act. And the doing part is sort of missing from this. And so if folks feel strongly about that, I'd be opening to sort of, or open to sort of redoing this chart, because it might be good to get aligned with a more traditional methodology than this one. So people can comment on that. Think about it. If anybody's got a really good example of that diagram, I'd love to see it, et cetera. So that might be one that we want to circle back to. These comments, I think you've already seen. The tailoring, we've certainly beaten to death. I'm not going to go into much more on that. The findings part is where I sort of want to dive in a little bit more detail. This is the defensive, yes, we have done stuff. Come on, we've done a lot of stuff. Just haven't done a lot of findings about risk, but I have driven that in here. This is familiar. This is our 5 big topic lists. And this reminds me of a conversation we had last week where I think Julie and Don brought up the question about the optics of having nation states in our methodology. And I went back and looked because I was wondering where that came from. And it turns out it came out of the methodology. So I'm thinking that if somebody gets really snarky about that, that's probably as good an answer to that as any, which is that, yes, indeed, sometimes nation states are security threat sources and point to the NIST 800-30 methodology. People really complain
Mikey,
about that.
Mikey, Julie Hammer here.
Go ahead, Julie.
I think the point that we were talking about was that the one place where nation states were mentioned was actually under the title adversarial threats.
And I did change that.
Yeah, so I think it wasn't the fact that they were mentioned at all. You're quite right, and sometimes they are adversarial, but the context in which it was appearing looked like that all nation state scenarios were adversarial.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I fixed that by yanking out.
Yes, I think you have too.
Yeah, okay. Good deal. Glad to hear that that's solved. I think this is where we should start. I'm not going to read these to you. They're on the screen. But I want to start drawing your attention to them because this is sort of the place we left off last time. I think the big one in this chunk is probably the one-size-fits-all puzzler. The thing that I also added is that, and highlighted on the diagram, is that some risks are very rapidly moving and some proceed at a pretty stately pace. I think one of the things that we're going to want to accommodate in our next round is not putting something in place that takes so long to do that it's useless for people who are on the front lines. Certainly something that I'm very conscious of. So anyway, that's one to highlight, and you can think about that. The other one that I want to highlight, especially for Mark, is that I've tentatively stuck Vixie in here as our anonymizer, and that's why it's in brackets, but we do want to drive that one to ground before we publish.
I talked to Paul about this, and he's all game. He thinks he's the most appropriate person for this task.
Oh, that's lovely. That is lovely. Thank you. Can you get me contact information? I stick that into the... somewhere in the appendix, and I just want to get the right ones that he's comfortable getting sprayed all over the world. Then we're good to go. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Okay. I think the next chunk, I've smashed together quite a bit of material that was sort of sprayed across a lot of pages and said a number of things about them. So this is part that we'll slow down a little bit on. Now this is, again, the first one is sort of the one-size-doesn't-fit-all problem. I think the next chunk is another piece out of that future organization part that I deleted, where we're sort of describing this dream that we have of ongoing coordinated, not coordinated in terms of the doing, but with shared results in a form that would be useful to the broader community. And again, this isn't, at least in my mind, this isn't all about, people sharing their mistakes. This is more about sharing and developing best practices and quickly communicating, especially with rapidly emerging threats, figuring out mechanisms that the news of those threats can be quickly communicated across, especially the community of top-level domain providers, because that community is going to get a lot bigger than it is right now. And we may have a scaling problem with the model that we have in place today that this might mitigate. So that's where that sort of is. Then there's the whining, no, we're going to finish. But I think it is important to set the expectations right. I think that it's unrealistic to see this work be based on very granular real-world data, partly because it's so sensitive. and partly because I just don't think it's practical. And so if the community is looking for a juicy report filled with secret details, I think we need to calm them down a bit on that. And that's what I'm trying to do with this. And I think that one of the other things that we probably need to calm people down on is that we're not going to probably go into a lot of detail on vulnerabilities. It seems to be imprudent to publish great detail on the vulnerabilities of the DNS so that the bad guys can read them and use them. And again, I think we need to set expectations appropriately there. This is partly out of my brand new textbook, where my textbook said, you know, it's not smart to publish your vulnerabilities. I went, oh, that's probably right. So we'll figure that out as we go, I think. This is the SSR stuff. I think that this is pretty much old news. I just sort of smashed together a little heading for it. So the recommendations haven't changed. I think it was Warren who pointed out I've got them in out of sequence. I'll fix that in the next draft. You have to understand that part of the reason for that, see, there's number 14, not quite in right place, but part of the reason for that is because I live in a town, St. Paul, Minnesota, where the numbered streets in the downtown part of town are not in numeric sequence. We got famous on national TV when our governor commented on that in a pretty uncomplimentary way.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, so I was just testing you. Way to go, Warren. And then finally, this is the last part. This is the approach, where, again, we describe the go fast, which is wrapping up now. I did stick in to the go fast part a public comment cycle. I think we should probably get this report out to Prague and then do a public comment cycle that we then fold back into that. While we go ahead and get started on Go Deep. Partly because, as it turns out, it's in our charter. It'd be a good thing to abide by that. So those are familiar bullets except for the last one. And then these three are the same, also with the addition of a wrap-up cycle. In here, again, this is some of the future-looking stuff. I think it would be an understatement to say that we did an awful lot of work building things because they weren't already there. And so I think one of the things to ponder, and this is sort of aimed at, especially at Patrick, but really at all of us, and that is I threw out on the call for the SSRRT, they had a webinar, and I threw out the notion that this repository would be a pretty – that. In general, resources to do this are important to provide. It's all very well and good to give people mandates, and the SSRRT was throwing out an awful lot of mandates, especially for ICANN, but mandates without the resources to carry them out aren't just a whole lot of fun. And somebody on the call sort of immediately piped up and said, well, be careful about scope creep. And I think that's a debate that's above our pay grade, but I think this repository could be a pretty low impact, low resource kind of effort. And I don't really care who does it, but I think it would be really great if somebody did it. And so that's part of why I think I've still got a lot of work to do on the appendix, because I think quite a bit of the appendix could go into that repository, wherever it winds up. Let's see. Then we've got the methods thing, which got smashed into a pretty short paragraph. Just all of the different versions that we reviewed and so on is sort of compressed into this one plaintive paragraph where we floundered until we picked one. But then I think there are some observations that are fairly important. First is that we did this in a hurry, and it wasn't really work that we were chartered to do. So the community should not view this as anything definitive. And I think the other is a puzzler, which is we only looked at zero-cost methods. And the only one that was really available that was in any way complete was NIST 800-30. There are a bunch of them, including the ISO 27000 series, that are available for pay. And this is above our pay grade, but it's one that I think the DNS Risk Management Committee should take a look at. And if it may well be that there are other methods that are much better than this, much better suited to this work, that need to be paid for, and then the puzzler is, what do you do about a community that's as broad and diverse as this? Do you force them all to have to buy it? And so that's one that I'm just really calling out here, but not taking on. That's above our pay grade. So then this is, you've seen this before. I'm on version 9. You're starting to see some of the changes that are coming in. And that gets me to another puzzler left over from last week. Go back to this picture for a minute. Julie came up with a really good idea. I was sort of whining about how long those risk topics that we've developed are. You know, they're 3 or 4 typewritten pages long each, so 5 of them is like 15 to 20 pages of text. I yanked them out of this part of the report and have relegated them to the appendix, and Julie said, well, maybe they could go on some sort of a diagram. And anybody who's got a good idea for what that diagram could look like, I am stuck. I tried starting from this one, and got to something that's so ugly that I threw it away. Some way to compress those 15 to 20 pages down into something that's preferably about 1 would tickle me to death. And if anybody wants to chew on that puzzler, I'm really interested in that. I'm going to continue to chew on it, but my focus for now is going to switch over to the appendices just to get those in some kind of shape pretty soon. So that was one I got stuck on. In this part, that worksheet that we built is a much more compact way to convey the methodology than, you know, the methodology suffers from the same problem that our risk scenarios do. that is that when you type the whole methodology out, it's this big, long thing. It's, I don't know how long, but it's another 20 pages of the appendix, I'll bet. And it's very tedious to read it. You know, it's just list after list and table after table. And after a while, you're sort of left kind of gasping for breath. Whereas the worksheet is great because you can sort of see the whole thing on one page, and then if you want to drill into something, you can click on it, and it immediately pops up the list that's there. So that's what's going on in this one.
So, Mike, yes, you can. Sorry, this is Warren. Yes, you can drill into blah, blah, blah. But I have this feeling that we might be assuming that the audience for this is actually going to care more than I suspect they're going to. And I don't quite know how to word that better.
Yeah. No.
I don't know if people will bother doing stuff like, look, there's a worksheet, they can drill into it. Or, oh, look, there are lots of pages, that must mean that there's good stuff in the report. I guess I'll look at it.
Yeah.
Sometimes just having other stuff makes people actually...
Yeah,
expecting a reader to do something might be more than they're likely to do.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And so maybe I'm just over-processing this. I think I'm still going to nudge them towards looking at it if they're interested.
Yeah, maybe, definitely yeah. With that. But if we just like return them a report that's 24 plus 5 pages, so, you know, 30 pages long, they'll be like, what have you been doing for the last 2 years, people?
Yeah, that's true. There is the weight test. We do want to pass the weight test. And I think we're easily going to blow through 100 pages in this report with the appendices.
Okay.
I think we do pass the weight test, no problem. Then this is really for us. This is in a way for Mikey to remember that. There are some things that I want to do to that worksheet to make it behave a little bit differently. And then there's our protocol that we developed. Just a picture of it and a quick narrative. But some observations about it, too. A little whining. People should review this report for whining, and if it's getting too whiny, we can take the whining stuff out. It was mostly venting. And again, this is aimed more at the DNS Risk Management Committee. You know, much of what we had to do in order to get our work done, but it was outside our scope. And then I highlighted the fact that we don't necessarily all agree that we even need confidential information to do what we're doing. And in fact, confidential information presents a lot of very complicated logistical puzzles. That's why we had to do this whole protocol. I think that's a debate to be had during the next phase. And then... this next major section and the last section is really talking about where we're going next. And the first thing I want to highlight is that I am still very uncomfortable talking about when we're going to deliver this until we get a bit further into it. I know that's going to annoy some people out in the community, and I will take that bullet, but... until we have pioneered a little bit further into an untracked forest, I'm really uncomfortable specifying when we're going to be done. But one of the other things that this is another artifact from that section that I deleted, which is the difference between projects and functions. And what we are is a project that's really doing something that's got a beginning, middle, and end, and then we're going to drink beer. That's the way projects work. They are a one-time thing. They make deliverables, and then they stop. whereas functions, managerial context, are things that go on forever, like payroll or you know, any operational thing. And I think it's safe to say that risk management is really a function that ought to continue forever, and especially periodic risk assessments. And so this part of the report is, again, sort of speaking, you know, this is like putting a little message in a bottle and launching it off into the ocean, and the hoped-for destination of that bottle is the Risk Management Framework Committee that will agree that there needs to be some sort of ongoing thing, and that risk assessment is part of that ongoing thing, and that hopefully the work that we've done will be a useful start. I think it will. So the other thing that I stuck in here for the Board Risk Committee is they are chartered not only to come up with a framework, but they're also chartered to come up with the first turn of the crank in a baseline assessment, which is where some of the confusion between our two groups' role occurs. And I don't think this is likely, but if they do start, if they go off and start an assessment, I think we want them to coordinate with us. Especially if they get ahead of us, we just assume retire from. At least I would cheerfully retire from the field and say, "You go." I think this is pretty unlikely, but. At the same time, I wanted to acknowledge the fact that we do have trains that are running on parallel tracks right now. And the ops group is trying to reach out to the Board DNS Risk Committee to coordinate some of this. We may have more to report on that soon. So then there's the famous Shark Arrow report. I don't think there's anything that's changed in there. Changed in here either. So that's it. That's our report. It ends kind of abruptly. Maybe there should be a little song or a dance or something at the end to say the end, but I haven't written that yet. So sorry to spend 45 minutes of your lives taking you through a report as sort of a narrative soliloquy, but as I say, I won't do that again, but I wanted to drag you all the way through it once. Because I know that a lot of us just don't have the time to do that. And now, at this point, I'm done, and any comments and thoughts are fair game. I'll open it up to the group, and we can carry on from there. Anything leap out at people that we should fix?
Mikey, Julie Hammer here. I was just wondering, it could be that this was an issue that was discussed at length before I joined the group, but I noticed that the charter is still there as a draft document. And I was just wondering why that was, whether there was any intention to try and sort of formalise it and make it a final document, or whether there's something that prevents that happening.
You know, I noticed that too. I was driving around and realised that the only copies of the charter are labelled draft. And that happened before I got on the working group as well. So for those of you who were there all the way from the very beginning, can you, Cheryl is saying that should be changed as it has been adopted by the ACs.
Yep. Mikey, Cheryl here.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's been adopted. And in fact, for some reason this happens a lot. if you go through all sorts of, even the foundation documents and memorandums and all sorts of things, what seems to be left on the wiki pages and on the web archives and access pages is often not the executed documents. Now, in this case, with the charter, admittedly, there was no, you know, signing and execution, but there certainly was the clear adoption. And so we certainly should be removing the word draft, and I would have thought an appropriate cover page should have been prepared by, I'll insert staff here, but somebody, the magic goblin somewhere in the system, to indicate that during the Cartagena meeting, which we're all rather proud of, the SOs and the ACs all made formal adoption of it. And it became a properly co-chartered work group, cross-community work group.
So if we rummaged through the minutes of the various AC and SO meetings in Cartagena, we should find those.
Mikey, the shortcut here is I don't think we need to rummage. I think you'll find that staff support for each of the ACs and SOs should be able to respond to, in an email with an exact link to the particular meeting. For example, whilst I can't give you the exact date, I can tell you it was the Thursday meeting in Cartagena that the ALAC endorsed it.
All right.
Whatever date it is in Cartagena, which happened to be the Thursday, that's when it happened. I'm not sure about the other SOs, but we did all manage to do it.
Yeah, I'll take an action to tidy that up.
Julie here again. Cheryl, do you recall, I'm looking at the document that's currently there, and in its annex, called Annex A Schedule, it's got two columns with start date, end date, all of which are TBD, and I understand and agree that you don't necessarily want to set dates for those things, but do you know whether dates were put in there in the final version, or was that just accepted as a TBD? And if so, do we want to leave it like that or tidy it up?
Well, in fact, it was left with the TBD because it was the operations group of the work group with the new co-chair situation that was born out of the co-chartering. That was to do that part of the planning. I would like to rewrite a document as such. I think leaving it as the TBD is fine, but
okay.
We could annotate it. I think I'm pretty sure I saw something which fleshed out some approximate dates early on in our process, Mikey. I'm not in some sort of dream world, am I? Pretty sure we did.
Oh, I don't know. I'd kind of like leaving you in a dream world. Might make my life a little easier.
Ooh.
No, you're absolutely right. What we did early on with the ops crew was a sort of work planning effort. And raised a few eyebrows because we left a few of those TBDs TBD. In fact, the final one is still consciously being left undefined because of this first time through the wilderness. But I think it's I'm with Cheryl on that. I think it's fine to leave the document as it is, as accepted.
Sure.
I think it is also a really good idea to circle back and nail down the dates and meetings where it was approved by all of the respective ACs and SOs, and that seems like a fairly straightforward thing to get done. Thanks. I'll take that one. Get that underway.
One other query I had, Mikey. In at the beginning of your section 4, or within your section 4, you use the terms go fast and go deep, which are well understood by the working group within Section 4, but where you really sort of define and explain those terms is at the beginning of Section 5. I think they're intuitively understood before that explanation, but I just thought I'd raise that point in case you felt that an earlier explanation might be useful.
Yeah, let's see. I could I could refer people to Section 5 for the definitions.
Mm. Yep, that would work.
Actually, I'm going to put that in square brackets and fix it later.
Mumble, mumble.
Well, I have to do that once. That's the honorary once per call Cheryl Mumble. There. Okay, that's a good catch. I'll take that. I may also back this down a little bit. Some of this was written late at night, you know, and some was written very early in the morning. And
well, sometimes you cut and paste, and that's fair enough too.
Yeah. Okay, other thoughts? It sounds like from a content standpoint, we're pretty close to the glide path, which I'm glad to hear. But if there are big content issues, we still have time to change this a lot because we have, you know, several more weeks to go before we really need to finalize this and push it off for the DCs and SOs to take a look at. So if people are, hopefully people are really comfortable, and that is great. But if there is something that really bothers you when you've, now that you've been drugged through this kicking and screaming, do fire it in as a comment to me in this week, because And especially helpful would be to get your comments into me before Sunday evening, because I'll push out a draft on my Sunday evening schedule this week. And so if you want to get stuff into the draft, the next couple of days are a good time to do that, because otherwise you'll miss a whole cycle. But other than that, I got nothing. Maybe we'll end a little early. What the heck? Unless there's something else on people's minds. And then we've got a fair number of comments already in, and we'll start going through those next week and working those into the draft. Oh, I'm not hearing cries of anguish. So, Natalie, why don't we turn off the recording and call it a day, and we'll see you all in a week.
Perfect. Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye. Good.